Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
They haven't played any games. I don't know how good they're going to be. Nobody knows how good they're going to be. This is irrational exuberance is okay time.
We got new drops. We have other people saying bears thanks to the internet.
The Bears!
I was like half asleep, like taking a nap that afternoon. Bears pick comes up. I didn't know it was up. I just heard that and that woke me up.
That should be your alarm clock.
It's sort of like the bells ringing in the town square and the piazza to wake everyone up in the morning. I like
the doves fly about.
Yes, exactly.
The Bears!
There's something glorious about that. Everybody should wake up to them.
Good morning, sunshine. Time to kick some ass.
It does sound like Krusty the Clown.
A little bit.
Hey, hey!
Oh, wow. That's
Krusty the Clown's on board with the Bears draft.
Krusty's on board. I feel like we've got it together.
Krusty, this camp was a nightmare. One of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God!
Well, actually, the bear just ate his hat.
Was it a nice hat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God!
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Sometimes you get a Chicago day that you know you absolutely have to savor, and this feels like one of those. It is just awesome out there today, and the moment we get sprung from this studio, I'm going to go outside. Because this is a day, whatever you're doing, this is like if you ask your teacher if you could have class outside today.
Yes.
And we did that even in college. Can we have class outside? Please, come on, Dr. Gleckner, please. And I only took the class because the guy's name was Dr. Gleckner. And my roommate's like, you have to take this class.
So when you guys would go outside at Duke,
we'd sit on the quad in a circle.
Just on the grass?
We'd sit on the grass in a circle and talk about Lord Byron. Because that was a class only about Lord Byron.
Oh.
And we were reading
It is incredible how he's built this media empire.
No, that's Byron Allen.
Oh.
It's different. Lord Byron he had other things going on.
Okay.
And we read what I thought.
He's a billionaire.
What
now.
I thought was Don Juan, but our teacher, our professor said it should actually be pronounced Don Juan because of the meter of the way the poem is set up. Don't ask. But we would say, can we have class outside? So whatever it is, if you're working, ask if you can have work outside. Ask if you have class outside. We'll write you a note.
Can we broadcast outside today?
I'd love to.
Can we make that work?
Like go to Gallagher Way or something?
No, we should go back to that spot where we did the show after the Cubs won. Right over there.
Or Kenwood Liquors.
I-80 by the Top Golf?
The parking lot.
I mean, the Kenwood Liquors would be great.
Kenwood Liquors
Park. Over there on Cicero?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
That's when people come and like give us our weight in gold.
And donuts.
Yeah, donuts and wine.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best day ever.
Yeah.
I could barely fit everything in my car.
When you said, I remember, all right. So
and
look.
The guy showed up from Cermak Fisheries, and he brought like the smoked salmon, remember?
Yes. So look, we did this remote years ago. I was in for Terry. Dan and I were at Kenwood Liquors off of like 104th and Cicero or wherever it is. People brought us stuff. They brought us stuff from the Huck Finn. They brought us pizza. All it was great. The best part though is that as we were going to our cars, Dan like he nudges me and he's like, "Hey, have you looked at this wine?" So they gave us like the thing that carries six bottles of wine. And you were like, this is a $100 bottle of wine.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's like, don't drink that one.
It's like Farniente Chardonnay.
Yes.
There was a,
That was an all-timer.
Cab.
That was an all-timer as far as remotes go at the score.
Either way, just enjoy it.
But yes, get outside, be outside. I was on the train platform today, taking the Metro in, and it was great. Like the sun, I could see it was right by the Museum of Science and Industry. See the sun like rising over. It was just, it's gorgeous. This is a Chamber of Commerce type day in Chicago. Don't ruin it. I know there'll be plenty more.
Hellhole, hellscape.
But
urban hellscape.
Crime. But get outside and enjoy. I mean, enjoy the lakefront because it's there for you.
Right. And it's not obscured by any massive buildings that you pay for. Ray Diaz, our executive producer. Adam Studzinski is our sound man and associate producer. Brandon Fryer assists today with sound help. We have Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lab, even Cody Westerland is here today. Like it's a full staff Tuesday. We got Ian Happ, we got Kalen Kaler in studio, Tim Jenkins, James Fegan. We're all things to all people. But yeah, I hope you got home in time to flip on the Cubs game and watch everything that was going on.
It went quick.
And Severino was dealing. And with
so it was Tyone.
With the exception of one pitch. And do you see what kind of pitch it was, too? What have we been talking? Keep this in mind.
The fastballs?
Four-seam fastball. Never throw it unless it's a ball. That's my new rule.
Throw it outside of the zone.
Throw it up. Throw it out. Not down. But there's just no reason to throw a four-seam fastball anymore. Everything's got to move. That if you look at contact numbers, look at contact on four-seam fastballs. That's where slug comes from. That's where so much hard contact comes from. Don't throw it.
There's a reason to throw it, but you need to be strategic in how you're going to throw it. And I in the White Sox game last night, I thought that Michael Kopech did exactly what you said. And I don't know if it was by design. But the Correa at bat last night where Kopech was like, here's 100 high, like a little off the plate and high.
That's fine.
Here's 101, a little off the plate and high. Here's a slider on strike two. And he got him. And he froze Correa because Correa was like, I'm ready. Because, you know, to me, Michael Kopech throws 100, but it's 100 and straight and doesn't move.
It's a light 100.
If he can do that, where he has people off balance and he's using his slider effectively, then yeah, now you found something and you can do that and be that every night in either the eighth or the ninth inning role. But yet that's the way to do it. The way to do it is I'm going to entice you to take swings at pitches that are going to be difficult for you to drive, and then I'm going to break your ass off. That's the idea.
By the way, thanks, Scott in Oak Park. I misspoke. Calumet Fisheries. I don't know why I said Cermak. Yes, of course. Calumet Fisheries, which I believe burned and they're rebuilding.
Yeah, over on 90 Fish Street.
Yeah, I think they're rebuilding.
There was a little, like a small fire, which over there, it's because they're right on the water.
And there's no such thing as a small fire in a place that's that old and that small.
Yeah, and I mean, that type of stuff's like going on all over the place. You see Smith and Walensky's on fire.
Mm-hmm. He's on fire!
Hyde Park Produce had a fire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was walking down there going to get my lemons, and I was like, what the hell, man? What do you mean you're not open? Where am I going to get these lemons?
Drew in Andersonville says, you want to go outside, you guys should broadcast from that secret park along the river north of Montrose. Sunken Garden Park?
No, we should. What's the veteran, the park that's right here?
Milton L. Olive Park?
Yes, yes, of Olive Harvey fame. That's where we should go. Or, like I said, like the place we had after the Cubs won the World Series, we were right across the street. Remember we were in...
Oh, that was a tavern. Right by the where the ice rink is.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
This would be a perfect day to do that.
We had a little security issue, though. That was a lot of security people issue. Inside and back and front. And
yeah,
that
was, but yeah. I mean, you know, everyone was joyous and wanted to see Anthony Rizzo on a bus or whatever it was that they were doing. That's what they wanted. And they got it. And we were just like, hey, Cubs won.
It was a really good call, I thought, too, by Boog and JD and Taylor McGregor last night. That was a well-played, well-broadcast, major market, major league game.
I have come to love the Taylor McGregor interjections. I think that she's really good as a sideline reporter, but now it's almost like she's really the third member of the team. And it's very similar, I think, to what Layla does for us. She makes us smarter and younger. It's the same thing with Taylor McGregor.
Good luck with that.
She's making Boog and JD smarter and younger because she's bringing stuff to the table and what she's getting from the clubhouse. And
I like that blinged out phone
case.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like that was fun as hell to be like, wow, that's what I could do with my phone if I wanted to.
See, I was laughing because when they were talking about it, it sounds like the scene in Pulp Fiction when Jules is describing his wallet.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was going to say on it.
It kind of does say bad.
That's what I mean, right? It's like, it's the one that says TM on it. And it's got this huge, like, rhinestone TM in there. And I was thinking it was going to say bad mamma jamma on there.
Hey, whatever it takes to help you find your phone. And it's good. So, yeah, it's a very enjoyable thing. And then the game itself, it's weird because I do think that we have reached the point, as those of us who love baseball, where we're out here trying desperately to tell other people about how great baseball is. Yesterday was a perfect example of a great baseball game. Like, that's what it's supposed to look like. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like that all the time. And quite honestly, the White Sox game was enjoyable that way, too. It was quick. It was efficient. And then you had the better team ended up winning. Have you guys talked about what the Twins are up to?
Oh, with the sausage? Oh, yes.
Studs, has this been a thing?
Yeah,
we
finished the show yesterday at 1:40 by playing the whole Rocco Baldelli thing. And it's then
a substantial packaged, you know, sausage.
Well, our guy Dan Hayes of The Athletic finally got a charcuterie to explain what we did yesterday, where Baldelli's leaning into the sack. Oh, it's gross. It's it's a summer sausage. Nothing is going. They actually talked to a sausage expert.
Okay.
Because
even if the wrapping comes off, it's going to be fine.
You could set it's fermented. It is, that is a summer, the point of summer sausage. In every culture, they call it different things. Thuringer is a summer sausage. The idea is by salt curing and fermenting, it can survive without refrigeration. Wrapped, unwrapped, you could set that thing in the sweaty August heat, and all they said was it's going to taste, it might not taste great after a while, but it's not going to be bad.
Okay,
no
or anything like that.
It's a summer sausage. It's exactly the right sausage for this.
Well, it got used last night. There was a home run, and this sausage was deployed.
Yes, and believe me, like, that thing's going to stay fine. And it makes me hungry. Summer sausage is, and the reason I say tangy is because of the fermentation, and in the mass-produced ones, they use a lactic acid culture, almost like you get with a rye bread kind of tang, similar to that. And it's perfect for this.
So, look, I knew that I wasn't going to be here on Monday, so I knew that my weekend was different than ordinary weekend for me as far as watching stuff, taking notes, and all that stuff. And because I was having my colonoscopy, that's why I was out yesterday. Everything went really well. I'll talk about that at high noon. I was like, yeah, let me get a couple of my favorite things before I do the purge on Sunday. So Friday, met a friend of mine at Pancho Pistola, and it didn't dawn on me until I was getting off at the exit on 31st Street that I was like, oh, bleep, there's a White Sox game tonight. This may have been a huge mistake to go to Pancho Pistola.
Never say that, though.
It was not a mistake. I made it from door to door, from Hyde Park to Bridgeport during a Friday night White Sox game. 13 minutes.
Wow, Southside, stand up.
Stop it.
You end up on the haters
yeah,
list.
You're
going
to end up one of those
haters in the building. Oh.
Haters don't want us to win.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is not good. That on a and I know that it was rainy. The sun did come back out, and they played the whole game. It was very easy for me to get through Bridgeport on Friday night, and that's probably not good.
Southside, stand up!
Well, they were on a win streak, so that was the start of their win streak. It's now over. But
you're going to be on the haters list.
I mean, the crazy part is then I instead of going back towards the Ryan, I was like, let me ride through the neighborhoods. I found a little, and I know the people that live here don't want me to say jack about this. I found a little nook of awesome houses. I think it's Russell Park. Like, once you enter Canaryville, so I took Hosted back down and then turned down 43rd
this
Street.
This isn't one of those, like, Chatham streets with the massive yards and long driveways.
Dan,
that looks like Lake Forest.
Dan, there was a house that I saw, I want to say, on, like, 43rd and Emerald. That's got to be, like, a $2 million house. And if it were in Lincoln Park, it'd be a $4 million house.
I'm not surprised.
And I'm like, these people are over here hiding. It's the same thing with Grove Park, way south. Like, that's technically Pullman, like, right on just east of Chicago State. And you're like, wait a minute. What's this doing over here? It was very nice. I started looking. I hit the Zillow immediately. It was like, what is this stuff worth over here? And I know them people like, Lord, shut your black ass up. You're not coming over here spoiling this for the rest of us.
I know we've got I've got a series of Cubs observations after last night's game. I've got three on my list. And we can offer these sort of bullet point style and then just see what tickles your fancy. Because I know you have some as well. But there are three things that I've noticed, and one that got some pushback yesterday. It's a long-held thought of yours that I echoed, and Jason pushed back with something that at least caused me to – it gave me some pause.
Okay. Let's do all of that stuff. Okay. Let's talk about the Cubs and the fact that they're having a great month, even with everything that's going on. And we will update you on the latest. There's also a note about one of the injured players that – if you've been listening to this show, we kind of told you exactly what it was.
Ow, my bad hurts. You're what? My bad. My bad hurts. What are you going to do? Well, I got to go on the IL and wait till fix my bad has to heal.
Uh-huh. We'll discuss all of that. It's Bernstein and Holmes here until 2 on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
Craig Counsell doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Even with personal play with his guys, you know, he can kind of stay, you know, somewhat in the middle and stay pretty calm about, you know, whether a guy's doing great or, you know, he gets excited. But if, you know, he has a bad day, it's not the end of the world either. And I think he's treated the wins and losses, some of the bad ones, that way. And I think his team is starting to take on a little of that personality.
Ron Coomer on The Score talking about Craig Counsell. So a series of bullet point observations here on the Cubs and their manager right now. I know you've got a list too. One thing I have noticed already, there has not been, and I haven't watched every inning of every game, I haven't watched every pitch, but I've watched a lot, and there has not been a borderline reviewable call where I have said, ooh, maybe want to take us, the Counsell isn't already on the top step. His process, he is on it. He's not late. You don't see scrambling. When they cut to the dugout, there are a lot of dugouts where you'll see a manager, you know, pointing and maybe kind of somebody coming up to him and tapping him on the shoulder. There has not been any questionable call. They don't always review it. But and very often, you will see Counsell waiting, looking. He's always looking at the same spot. And then he'll either give the or he'll give the cans around the ears, look at it. His process is impeccable. And that's all you ask about. He knows at whom he's looking. He knows there is anything. There's a signal that goes. They don't wait for a player to say, review it. He's on it. The attention being paid to those is just something that is really, really on it.
We often talk about coaches, managers, in the idea of, does this person have the ability to think a couple of moves ahead? And it seems like when you're watching Counsell, that's what you're watching. That someone who has figured out the tempo at which the game is going to be played, and he lives in it. I think that his personality itself is never to be too high or too low. That he's just kind of there, but he's always thinking. It comes across, like, as you're watching the game play out, and you're like, oh, that was interesting that he was thinking about what the other team was going to do, so this is why he made this move.
Look where his eyes are.
Although I was concerned last night where I'm like, really? This is the time to pinch hit Madrigal? Because
we had a little side bet on that one. I almost lost some money on that had he not beaten that out. Because
should have come home with the ball, by the way.
The offer, Wendell? Oh, he had 50 feet.
Yeah, that's the only reason he made it.
Yeah, no, he was out. He had him. But he didn't even look there. And so I had a little voice in my ear saying, you know this is a double play.
Well, of course.
I'll bet you this is a double play. And I said, fine, I'll bet you. I said, I will take contact out other than double play.
Okay. What was the bet? Dollar? Popeyes?
It was just a gentleman's bet.
Okay, I made him run to
Popeyes. He also called the Morel homer.
I mean, but that's one of the things I want to talk about, where Counsell, to speak to your point about fastballs, Counsell said last night, about that at bat is like that's what happens when you put together good at bats. And it's not that Rossi was doing something wrong. I just think that there is something to the way that Council teaches that allows for guys to be a better version of themselves, if that makes sense. Why don't we hear what Coombe has said when it comes to the things that he's noticed about the way Council goes about doing his job?
That's what we heard coming in, was that exact description. Let's run it again.
Craig Council doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Even with personal play with his guys, you know, he can kind of stay, you know, somewhat in the middle and stay pretty calm about, you know, whether a guy's doing great or, you know, he gets excited. But if, you know, he has a bad day, it's not the end of the world either. And I think he's treated the wins and losses, some of the bad ones, that way. And I think his team is starting to take on a little of that personality.
And think about that for a second. Think about what happened to the Cubs on Saturday. 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
Well, Matt Mervis was pitching for a lot of that.
Still.
He was a good college pitcher, too.
What did he hit on the gun? Because I wasn't even watching.
I was long gone. I was out fishing.
Because that's part of the question of what to do as a position player when you pitch. Like, do you overextend yourself, or do you just lollipop it out of there?
Canseco, my arm, I'm out for a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you throw to the maximum of your ability where you're hitting, you know, mid-80s?
And now's my presence with authority.
Maybe touching 90, and then you're like, owie.
Yeah.
Owie.
Yeah. That, pitching's hard.
That hurts a little bit. But I enjoy watching Council kind of work his way through this. And I think that he's got a couple of guys on the team. We're going to talk with one of them that buy in, like their personalities are similar.
Couple other observations. Michael Busch has got to clean up that defense at first base, or they got to fix it. You got to play Mervis there. You have to do something because his footwork is weird. His understanding of what balls he's supposed to field is off. Like there are plays for a major league first baseman that are routine. Like that should not be an error. You should save errors.
He needs to be more comfortable of the ball getting on him versus him going to get the ball.
He stretches too early. He stretches way too early. His feet on some pickoff attempts are weird. The footwork's all screwed up. Not that position, not at this level.
Strangely enough, I was watching first baseman drills like this weekend, and one of the things that guys are being taught, at least in infield practice, is starting with both feet
on the base.
Yeah.
Yes. Both feet on the base. Wait till you get a trajectory. Do not stretch
because
until
then
you
can
get
figure out which way you
Correct.
Need to stretch.
Correct.
Now, I was always, and this is antiquated, you know, 30 years ago type stuff, straddling the bag, especially as a right-handed first baseman when it comes to that. It's the same principle, but it's a waste of steps because then you're like, okay, I need to step over the bag and then land on the bag versus starting on the bag and then figuring out which way that you're going to go, which way your body needs to contort and lean. And seeing that and seeing Bush struggling with that a little bit of him being like, I got to go get that ball. No, the ball's going to get to you. Like, let it get a little bit deeper instead of, it's almost like a catcher that's trying to steal a strike. Like, you can let it get a little bit deeper before you commit. Because sometimes when you go down and commit,
your margin for error, you're at that,
you better have great hands.
That quick swipe.
You better have great hands. And if you
do. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
Hey, anything worth doing is.
It's incredibly hard to play first base sometimes.
So we came into this season with questions at the corners of the infield. And we're talking about Michael Bush's struggles. How are we feeling about Christopher Morel right now?
Much better.
I tweeted that Bush, to me, is more of an issue than Morel at the moment. Although Morel did have another, like, I've got to hurry and throw it 97 miles an hour, and that makes it harder to feel like there's still issues there, and the ball will find him in October.
But my whole thing is I have trust in Council to work it out, like allow these guys to do it. By the way, there's some notes on injured players. This is from our friend Maddie Lee of the Chicago Sun-Times. She writes, the Cubs are targeting, quote-unquote, later this week for right-hander Kyle Hendricks, parenthetically strained lower back, to make his first rehab start since landing on the 15-day IL last week. Manager Craig Counsell said, Hendricks progressed to throwing off a mound Saturday, and that phase of his rehab process has gone well. This is the paragraph I think will interest people who listen to the Bernstein and Holmes show. During his rehab stint, Hendricks also will be working to address mechanical execution and pitch usage issues that plagued his rough start to the season. How much headway he makes in those areas will factor into how long his rehab assignment lasts. Yeah.
Good thing he got injured.
Yeah. It's funny that he would have time now to maybe work on some of those things.
Sometimes good things happen just at unexpected times.
Coincidence.
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
It just so happens he needs a bacchiotomy. At the same time, he can work on mechanical issues.
Oh, my neck! My back! My neck and my back!
They both hurt.
One more observation, and I got called out on something here.
Okay.
This reminded me of the Organizations Win Championships podcast, because kind of the point of that is I get called out, I get roasted on things that I might not otherwise. I was harumphing about PCA.
A little too much dip on his chip?
I'm watching it. Did you see, like, Talkman calls him off, and PCA does this sort of glide behind him, like, I could have caught that. He buzzed the tower, and he does, like, he kind of half put the glove up in the air, like, you know, that I could have caught that.
He had a ball Sunday that looked like he didn't quite have it, too. He did the catch it close, and it kind of
He did, like, this phantom catch kind of thing, and I was on the couch going, that's enough out of you, young man. So Jason looks at me, and he goes, you're a hypocrite. I said, what do you mean I'm a hypocrite? He said, you're only saying that. You're baseball policing him because he's a white guy. He said, if that were a swaggy Venezuelan dude with, like, the bright yellow stuff, he said, you'd be saying it's awesome. He said, you're only on him. He said, you get to baseball police him because of the cultural difference.
All right. It's an interesting point.
Oh, maybe you're kind of right. He said, if that guy's name were
white,
were Carlos, he said, you wouldn't be saying that because you only feel empowered to Tony La Russa him because he's a white guy.
Future manager of the White Sox, Tony La Russa,
and current general manager.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is that really a question?
Sure,
no,
it's not.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, why not? Okay.
So is he right?
I'm okay with him looking at it through that lens. That's a fair thing to question. I would say that part of my issue with it is mistakes were made partly because of the swaggy in a part of the season last year
where
you couldn't make mistakes.
That's true.
That's my issue with PCA.
But that's not his point was you.
I know he can get to those.
He said you would think it was awesome. He said if that guy looked like Ronald Acuña out there, it just like it was.
If he looked like Ronald Acuña, he'd hit more.
It's like a loophole. And he said, you feel empowered. You get to La Russa him because he's PCA.
I will say, and this is a something for a bigger discussion at some point during the summer, I will say that no one is more merciless on white athletes than white people.
That's true.
Y'all go hard on these dudes. We're like, that seems unfair. Like, why don't you leave that guy alone? It's like, he's a bum. And like, he's pretty good. He's like, well,
right.
Exactly.
Hey, during the pregame show here on The Score, Zach talked with PCA, and PCA talked about, like, the big relief that he felt hitting that big home run for his first hit, his first MLB hit. Like, that was great for him. So look at that. Maybe things are starting to turn the corner at the plate, at least.
We know
PCA,
he can field
right?
it. He's still learning how to figure the other stuff out, which is cool. And if he learns how to hit, he's going to be great. By the way, since we're talking about Zach, with Pat out for a little while, Zach has done a great job. He's really done a great job on play-by-play for the Cubs. And I love hearing him. And look, I'm totally biased. He's one of my favorite people on earth. But listening to him, he has figured out how to harness some of that baseball excitement. I love listening to Zach do basketball games. And in basketball, it's easier because of the constant motion. Zach, in these years of being in the booth with Pat, you can tell that he has become an excellent broadcaster doing baseball. So shout out to my guy Double Z for doing fantastic work.
And a great point here, the translation of Pete Crow Armstrong into Spanish, according to the 630, is Pedro Cuervo Brazo Fuerte.
Oh, let's call him that. So
if he is Pedro Cuervo Brazo Fuerte, that would be Pedro Crow Armstrong.
I like it.
Pete Crow Armstrong. There it is.
Well, wait, we have to get dispensation from our brothers and sisters in the Spanish diaspora.
Okay.
We can't just culturally appropriate this without kind of asking if this is okay.
But I think he got me. Like I think he's probably right.
So if you're part of the Spanish diaspora, are you all right with us doing this? Because if not, then we won't. We get it and we won't do it. But if you're like, you know what, I'm going to start doing that too, I'm totally fine with that. You want to talk about the Bull?
Yeah, they're firing people.
Does it matter?
I don't know.
Let's discuss that next here on The Score.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
Join The Score and Budweiser this Thursday at Harry Carey's Tavern Navy Pier for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Park at the Spiegler there from 4 to 7 p.m. with Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. You can register to win Cubs tickets. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Tonight, the Cubs continue their series in New York against the Mets. Pre-game coverage 5:35, first pitch 6:10. Listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with a free Odyssey app.
So, Dan, the Bulls have they made change. They've made some change.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed coaches, kind of.
No. They've moved the assistants around. Chris Fleming is out as number one assistant and offensive coordinator.
Right.
They haven't named his exact replacement yet, but the number one guy might be their defensive coordinator, who's Josh Longstaff.
Okay.
And that's organizational. It's their decisions and not the individual decisions where Maurice Cheeks, we're told, on his own
wants to move a little bit out of the spotlight.
He's going
to
throttle back. Not going to be the primary bench guy anymore. He'll be around.
And then they moved away from Chip Schaefer.
Yeah, they fired Chip Schaefer.
Yes. As their strength and conditioning guy.
More than, it was like injury prevention coordinator, something like that. He had more of a title than just strength and conditioning coach.
So does any of this mean that the Bull? What are you looking at? What's wrong with your face? Oh, okay. Does any of this mean that there are going to be significant changes from a personnel standpoint? Should a Bulls fan look at the Bulls being active as them accomplishing anything?
Not yet. Not yet. I would look at this as a potential prelude to meaningful action, especially with the idea that Zach is leaving. Because apparently, because Longstaff is a defensive guy and defensive coordinator, essentially, that he and Zach were not close, and his promotion leads me to it's just another reason. I think Zach would have gone regardless, but this further cements my belief that they're going to move on from Zach.
They've got to do something fairly significant after the things that were said, right? I mean,
yeah. And they also have to figure out what they're doing with DeMar.
Well, if they've already offered DeMar a 2-year deal worth $80 million or whatever that was.
I haven't confirmed that. I know that was one report. As long as it's 2 years, it's there. I don't care. But 2 years is about right. Because I'm more impressed with DeMar's willingness to
grow, change his game,
and or to make concessions to age, which is one of the hardest things for a future Hall of Famer to do.
Yeah, but it just seems like whatever it is that they got going on is not enough, and maybe
it's not.
Maybe we do need to look at this in the same way that the Cubs did, where maybe your staff makes a difference. For example, we can look at them adding Peter Patton this past year and saying that played a significant role in Kobe for sure and probably Io getting better. If you were to have a better, more robust staff that has some ideas, I don't know if it means to necessarily like challenge Billy, but if you were to have a staff that comes with a little bit different take and add it to what Billy already does any of that close the gap between you being a play-in team and being a playoff team? And does any of that then close the gap between you being a playoff team and a team that's an actual contender?
No, that's a mountain to climb.
It's a personnel thing. Right? That's what
they've got to get younger. I hate to say this, they have to get younger and more athletic.
Are you willing to bring Patrick Williams back?
Sure, because I think it'll be relatively inexpensive at this point. What I would say to Patrick Williams is go see what the market bears, and let your decision come after he's priced himself.
Okay,
go ahead. And say, look, and love the guy. With every year that goes by, I'm less confident that he's ever going to be something. But I do like him, and I do wish him well. And I would love for him to succeed here. But I would tell him, if somebody else is going to pay you, we can match it.
I like him too, and you know that I've said that I feel like he's the type of player that he gets somewhere else, the light clicks on, and then you're like, man, I can't believe that they used to have this guy. But I got to tell you, as the bull season was winding down, as we got closer to the play-in and inside the play-in, I had forgotten he was on the team. Like, he was, you talk about out of sight, out of mind. And I'm sitting there going, where exactly can he fit in? You know, like.
We know he can space the floor. We know he's a 40% three-point shooter. That's got value. But he has to be more than that. He's a 40% three-point shooter is valuable right now.
I've been thinking a lot about how people adjust to the league, and we've been spending a lot of time talking about this and as it pertains to quarterbacks, on whether quarterbacks are ready for the next step, or do they need the first contract as a seasoning before they are able to really be their best. I'm wondering about some of those athletic picks that you're drafting on traits in basketball too. Like
Julian Phillips,
right? Like is
him
that
getting hurt sucked? That him getting, because he was on the come, him getting hurt and taking away that development opportunity. Like, he's a guy who could show up to camp. Like, the summer is really important for him. This is a big summer for Julian Phillips.
But I mean, I'm looking at it in terms of Patrick Williams too, because if you're looking at him, he clearly wasn't a polished basketball player. He was a sixth man on a pretty good Florida State team. And then you're asking him to move into a role and kind of learn basketball at the pro level because the traits are out of this world. Oh, he can shoot. He can jump. He's 6'6", wide bodied, all of that stuff. And I'm wondering, does that, how do you look at that if you're in a front office and say, we know what he projects and we can get him to where he projects? Now, it might be that he's not any good.
No, but the ceiling was Kawhi, is what you were talking about.
Right.
Is it Kawhi-like game?
How do you get him there? That's where, to me, when you are talking about making changes on the coaching staff, maybe that's the little bit of difference that you have someone that clicks someone on. And that's why I bring up Peter Patton. Hearing from Kobe White that throughout his whole career, no one has ever really taught him to shoot until Peter Patton comes along and is like, when you're ready, let's talk about some things that you could do differently.
I think more so Io, really, because people have tried to change Io's shot, and that's not what Patton does. Patton is going to optimize how you shoot.
Right.
And it's at the point now with Io, I expect it to go in. Like, my default setting is he gets a good look. That's going in. And whether it's a pull-up, whether it's off the bounce, off the catch, like, I'm much more confident in him. And Caruso shot over 40%.
Well, I want to give
best shooting years ever had.
I want to give the players credit and probably criticism, because it's on them to want to get better. And in the case of Io and of Kobe, you can tell that these are two guys that they've taken to. This is where I think DeMar is so valuable. They've taken to being like, okay, that guy really works, and here's how he works. My game might be different, but my grind doesn't have to be. I can do the same types of things to try and get better. When I look at P. Will, and I know that he wants it, I wonder if it is the idea of, do you have the best teacher for you? That doesn't mean that Billy, for example, is a bad teacher. It just means, can he get the most out of you? Can the assistants get the most out of you? It might only mean one win or two. But if you can unlock a player, I'm okay with this being the first step of how the Bulls are going to try to get better, as long as it is followed up by player acquisition or player departure to try to make this a more valuable overall roster.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show. You have a big picture Bears question?
Yeah, one of our guys asked a question, and I wanted to ask you about that.
Next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.